How did this one make you feel? Because it was a classic sort of mixed emotions kind of a thing. No doubt about it. The lead emotion is that the 49ers won. It's a victory Monday. You beat the Cowboys. And so if we're just going to make it about 5:30 to 8:30 last night, we good round here. We good round here. But it's hard not to project where they're going next and also what we saw last. That's not good enough. That's not going to be good enough to have a special
right,
year.
But it doesn't have to be good enough right now. It just has to be good enough in 13 days when they come out of the bye against a Tampa team, and they're going to have an 8-day rest advantage against a team that is down two wide receivers.
And so also, yeah.
You would figure that, like, last night will be good enough then, and then you have Seattle coming off a bye, and we don't know if that will be good enough then. But the beauty of this whole thing is it really is week to week. And last night felt like an 8-week season in a nutshell, because you were kind of okay in the first half. The defense was good. The offense couldn't really cash in. The third quarter was, oh my God, you're the best team in the history of football. And then the fourth quarter was, hold on, Bessie, hold on for dear life, because this thing is about to get really, really uncomfortable. So that four quarters last night felt like 8 weeks into a nutshell.
Kyle Shanahan on his conference call today, or potentially this was last night. I don't think anybody cares. This is Kyle Shanahan. This is last night on the podium with regard to the win.
You know, you always go into a season, you expect to win them all. So you're not exactly where you want to be. But going into this game, we knew this was a big win. You know, we didn't want to be 3-5 going into the bye week, having your backs against the wall like that. Getting that win was huge, being 4-4. Not at all the record that we wanted when we set out. But when you look at our division and everything, feeling a real good spot, especially finishing in here with the win. Hopefully we can take some time off, rest a little bit, get a couple guys back, hopefully, and come back and string some wins together here in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, okay, 2 weeks off. Get healthy. You're going to get Juwan Jennings. Maybe Debo will be his normal self. You might have Christian McCaffrey when this team comes back around. And Dre Greenlaw might just be another week or two or three away. And yes, I do think the 49ers will be active on the trade market, and I'm betting that there will be at least one other new 49er by the time this team plays again. So with that projection, which is the positive one, how would you answer this? If we make this a tale of two halves, which one was the real 49ers?
Both. I mean, I could say the second half and, you know, say, yeah, that's the team. The third quarter, that's the team. You know, Brock Purdy in the offense, 3 straight touchdowns and 21-0. And I think Dallas had 16 or 14 yards in the quarter. That's it. That's the team. But honestly, both are the team. The first half, where it feels like it's field goals in the air. And yeah, field goals, great. The defense was good. And they didn't really break. They bent, but they didn't break. They were fine in the first half. Mm-hmm. Second half, third quarter, amazing. Fourth quarter is like a lot of fourth quarters have been. So if I had to pick between which team in just a half they are, it's the second half, which is the offense has the potential, no matter who they have, to be really, really explosive. Your tight end is going to the Hall of Fame. Your wide back, even though he has pneumonia and bad ribs and a bad shoulder and a bad knee and bum ankle and the toe hurts and whatever it happens to Debo, the dude makes plays. And he made some big plays last night. Your rookie first-round receiver looks to be real enough.
Yeah, I like him.
Your running back, who is RB whatever, 6 or 7,
yeah,
he is so fast and so good and so tough. And, you know, when Shanahan is humming like that, this offense is amazing. And then the fourth quarter happened, which is, you've got Keystone Cops. You've got DBs running into each other. You're rushing four. Boring. And CeeDee Lamb is open on every single play. So for me, the second half is exactly who you are. You are at times phenomenal and at times head-scratchingly bad.
It's kind of funny, especially if you've ever picked up a golf club in your life. This is the way I think the human psyche works. Which is, you think of yourself as the best version of yourself all the time. So you'll slice one into the woods and you'll go, hold on a second, hold on, the breakfast ball. And then you'll hit it down the middle and you're like, that's me.
Yep.
No, you're right. They're both you.
Exactly.
They're both you. And you got to deal with that so that you can be that second person more consistently. No one's asking for perfection all the time. Okay. But it's funny that you sort of talked about the two tails of even just the second half.
Yeah.
I think there's a characteristic in the first half that I really want to highlight. Y'all got to stop committing so many penalties.
You think?
Okay, because the first half, somehow, I'm hearing this, and this is just, you know, the voices out there in the trees, but I'm hearing that 6 points is not good enough in the first half. Well, right. Do you know how many points they had taken off the board in the first half? I mean, there was A, an actual touchdown.
Yep.
And then B, there were at least two other field-flipping plays that would have changed the 49ers would have clearly been ahead. And potentially by double digits. And I'm not blaming anyone but them for that. You've got to button the damn thing up.
Yep.
Because when you look at the highlights of those plays, Eric Saubert and the rest of you, yes, you're guilty.
He held three times.
Stop.
Yep.
Stop it. You commit penalties when you don't have confidence that you are the best. But, like, if you guys truly believe what you say you believe, well, we've been the best team in the league for a long time now, then let your guys cook. Let them cook. Beat people straight up. And that's what Kyle was upset about at halftime when he did the halftime interview. Oh, my gosh, Kyle, you've only got 6 points. He's like, yeah, of course we've only got 6 points. Every time we got a big play, somebody's holding somebody.
Exactly.
Clean it up, please. Because that, unfortunately, is part of you too.
Exactly.
Because they do it almost every week.
Well, I'm looking at the game log that I did today. 3rd-and-1 opening drive. You had that false start where Conley and Pearsall were confused about who was supposed to go where. And they're openly talking to each other. And they're like, you go up, you go back, oh you go up, God. You go back. Brock snaps it. Yeah, that's a false start, dude. The two of you are chatting, trying to figure out what's going on. That drive ends in a field goal because Juice held on 2nd-and-5. You already mentioned the Debo 67-yard touchdown, which was awesome. And as we talk about Brock's performance in the first half, that throw was perfection.
Yep.
In stride, Debo, yak, to the house. Uh-oh, but wait. We got a penalty, Saubert, and he did hold at least twice on the play.
Sure did.
He held again, and then the other drive where Kittle had the hold on 1st-and-10. So then now it's 1st-and-20, and you run that little screen to Debo, and whoop, he drops it, a throw that was right to him, and you had Juszczyk in front, you had Kittle in front, and Pearsall was in front.
Totally.
That one would have been a big play,
yep.
And that's a Debo drop, and then that one ends because of the penalty again, 1st-and-20. So you're so right about that first half. If you're Kyle, you're thinking, the plays I called, we're up 24-10 right now.
Well, I thought, like, I'd love to give Kyle credit for play calling last night, but I'm going to revert back to my point last week. Play calling was easy last night. That team's awful.
Yeah, they struggle a little
bit. They're awful. And it's not fully their fault. They're injured, too. Their two pass rushers are out. Would their defense be different if those guys were in? Maybe. I'd argue probably even. But with what the Niners were going against, like, that was Brock Purdy's cleanest pocket all year. All year. That defense is not guarding anyone. So did Kyle have a good game plan? Yeah, I think he did. Was it executed well? Not at times. Not in the first half. But it's also while I'll give him a little bit of a nod on let's go for it on 4th-and-3 or let's even throw the ball late in the game when we maybe intuitively should be running. Because, my God, if you wanted a 5-yard pass over the middle, it was there on every play, every single play. And Brock missed Debo in the first half on the 4th-and-3. Debo could have caught it, didn't. I mean, it's just, I don't know, man. Like, I look at it, I'm super relieved that they won that football game and that for enough of it, they look like a dominant team over a team that I think just does not have a whole lot to offer. But there are buts. There are big buts.
Yeah.
In this one, which is, as you just said, it's the execution in the first half and then the letting them back in the way you did in the fourth quarter. Those things are head-scratching and frustrating.
Well, those are losing scenarios when you get into deeper situations and games against the likes of Green Bay and Buffalo and Detroit, which are three of your late November and early mid-December opponents. So you get into that stretch, and those teams are probably going to be playoff teams. Green Bay, Buffalo, Detroit, those are kind of playoff games for you. And when you make these mistakes, when you play that lackluster on defense and you choose to pass the ball, and that the big one for me is second and three. So you come out, you're trying to kill the clock, and you want to throw it, and Brock doesn't throw it. He scrambles for seven. All right, they use their timeout, their first one, second and three. Now you go ahead and run the ball. Go ahead and run it or even QB sneak it. They have not stopped the QB sneak all day.
Yeah.
Instead, he sits back to throw it, and Garendo blows the blitz pickup. And imagine that, a rookie running back who hasn't had to pick up a blitz much this year. It's been Mason. It's been Juszczyk. It's been other people. And so he blows it, and Purdy is very fortunate to not cough that thing up. And then we're having a different conversation today.
Well, and so the extension of that question that we're kind of tossing around, which of these two teams is the real 49ers, the first half or the second half, I think could also be thrown out this way. When you watch that game last night and you get the result that you do, does it make you optimistic or pessimistic for the second half of the season? And the only reason I'm going to argue optimism, well, I guess maybe two reasons. One of them is that's just the way my flipping brain works, okay? But the other reason is, you do start to, you see flashes of the team that you know this group can be. And in theory, when they come back, you will be injecting rest. You'll be injecting the offensive player of the year. You'll be injecting another veteran wide receiver and potentially your second best linebacker. And if you inject all of those things into this team, and I do think maybe an acquisition in the run-stopping sort of area of the field, if you inject all of that into this team, then yes, I think the 49ers will at least host one playoff game. I do.
Well, that's, to me, the only way they're getting in is if they win the division. So if you win the division, you host a playoff game, even if you're the 4 seed.